Now, we're moving on to a new play that deals with the criminal life, I suppose, in Cork. By day, Liam Halen is a court reporter for the Irish Examiner. By night, however, he channels his creativity into writing plays. To research his play, Love, Peace and Robbery, he gained unique access to prisoners in Cork Prison. The play begins a new run at the Everyman Theatre in Cork tonight, and Liam joins me now from our Cork studios. Liam, thank you for joining us this morning. Tell us about the story of Love, Peace and Robbery.
Good morning, Keelan. Love, Peace and Robbery is, I suppose, rather than being a story of organised crime, which I suppose we're seeing on our Sunday nights fix from RTE with Love, Hate, this is probably a story from the other side of the country which deals with disorganised crime. And it involves two lads who've come out of prison and they meet up on a probation scheme and they're trying to go straight and go right. The younger guy, his girlfriend, has gone to the States and he's trying to rustle up some money to get over to her and kind of put his life on a better footing. And the older guy is trying to get back in with his wife and kids, and the eldest of his kids thinks he's a bit of an idiot, and particularly because he spent time in prison and so on. And the young fella announces that he needs money for a sports club trip to Manchester, and not something that is a unique problem for somebody in the criminal scene, a kind of problem any family could have. And the two lads, one wanting to get to the States, the other guy wanting to get his son to Manchester, resort to their usual kind of patterns, their old patterns, and decide to do one last job. And it doesn't go quite as planned.
It's always that one last job, isn't it?
There's always that one last job, and I suppose I couldn't resist the cliche of the one last job. It was just too irresistible.
You know, from your description of it there, Liam, it seems, well, as you say, these are not gangland criminals. They're not criminal aces. But it seems that you're trying to draw a more human picture of the people that you would have seen going through the courts, the kinds of stories going through the courts.
Well, what kind of struck me and strikes me every day is that the stories going through the courts are not the, as I say, about the lad wanting to go to Manchester. If you, anybody who's listening this morning who's never had their life touched by crime, or who has never been involved in any kind of crime, if you just imagine the kind of financial pressures that you have and the kind of the need that you have, if only you had 2,000 or 3,000, you could reach on this, that or the other. And then you kind of say, well, maybe I should go to this money advice bureau, or they tell me about that on the radio all the time, or maybe I should go to the credit union, maybe I should go to the bank. But what I find is that the guys who are in court a lot, when they need money, if they've gambled all their money, if they've blown all their money on drugs, and if their life has that chaos about it, they're going to respond chaotically to the need for more money. And a chaotic response is a quick response, and the quick response is usually a criminal one, some kind of robbery or some kind of get rich quick fix, which really is why they end up in court so often.
Yeah, absolutely. And Liam, how did you do your own research? I mean, obviously you're a court reporter, but you got quite close to many of the prisoners who were convicted.
Yeah, it was kind of quite a memorable day in Cork Prison, I suppose. I went up and I had run it by the education wing of the prison, that I wanted to interview prisoners about. What I really wanted to talk to them about was when their lives were at their most chaotic, when they were really kind of living the life in a messy way, when they were at their worst with gambling, or at their worst with drinking, or at their worst with drugs, at their worst with thieving, breaking into houses, all of the stuff that must have had some kind of buzz about it. And that's what I wanted to hear, because what I'd often heard in court was, I want to put my life on a better footing, I want to do, you know, I'm changing my ways, and all of the kind of the learned kind of responses to authority when you're in a corner, you know. I didn't want to hear any more of that. I wanted to hear as much as possible about the buzz of the bad stuff when it was going on.
And did you find the people you were dealing with, were they open to that? Did they trust you?
They did, funnily enough, and they not alone did they trust me, but they actually strangely enough, they actually knew me before I, as soon as they walked into the room, because they'd see it like I'm covered.
They'd read what you'd written about them.
Well, that was the thing, and I didn't know why. I kind of had this vision of a prison officer, maybe with his hands clasped behind his back, standing in the corner of the room, kind of ready to spring into action with a taser or something if things got out of hand. But instead, I was landed in a room with a table, not unlike the RTE studio here in Cork, and told just that there'll be a couple of lads into you. And then two lads come in and I recognise them. And then another couple of lads come in, and before I know where I am, in the space of about 20 minutes, there's 12 lads around the table. And apart from one of them, who coincidentally was from Waterford, I'm from Waterford myself, but all of the other lads were from Cork, and where I work and live. And I had reported on the reason why each of those 11 guys was actually in prison. So it was kind of, I didn't really know how that was going to play out. But in fairness to them, they didn't really, there was a couple of references to it.
Positive references, or were you kind of getting, you didn't need to say that, did you?
There wasn't. What I actually find with the, because I'm walking past guys in the corridors and hallways of Cork District Court and Cork Circuit Court, on a daily basis for years. And, they kind of, most of them would know me. Sometimes guys would approach me and ask me to, could you not report on this? I get that a lot. But fellas who are up a lot, who've already been named and shamed, so to speak, the item in the paper is really the last thing that worries them. I mean, they're being taken away from their partner. They're being taken away from their children. They may have a mother or father who's in hospital or fatally ill or something like that. And so to actually be spending time in prison and be taken out of their scene, the fact that something is going to appear in the Irish Examiner or the local Evening Echo paper, it's probably going to affect the people around them. It's going to affect
the
girlfriend or the mother or the sister,
and
you know.
Another thing, I suppose, about being in prison is that it's boring, it's dull. I mean, did you find that the prisoners you were dealing with were kind of excited by this almost and wanted to tell their stories or at least get some diversion into their everyday life in prison?
Yeah, I'm not sure how much excitement I would have offered to 12 prisoners in Cork Prison. I wouldn't even like to think that I could. But anyway, what did happen was, I think that, yeah, a bit of boredom, a bit of distraction. And I think that's probably, I think even people who work in education in the prison would kind of say that it's probably one of the motives for why a guy will take on a course, just to, it might be a laudable thing of wanting to better himself when he gets out and so on. But no, I think sometimes it's just kind of have something going on. And I think that that day of talking to me about and the fact that they didn't have to, that I wasn't a probation officer, that I wasn't a guard, that I wasn't somebody who they had to persuade was now a good person. I was kind of actively looking for them to tell me about when they weren't a particularly good person.
Yeah. And I mean, it's interesting. I mean, often there's some very, very real sadness behind these lives as well. Difficult backgrounds, or indeed the children they're leaving behind. But also there are victims of these crimes. Is that something you had to take into account at all in putting the play together?
Yeah, I think, I suppose every day of the week when I'm reporting cases for the newspaper, I suppose the person who can often be central is the victim. Although I know that from court cases that victims often feel like the process has kind of
leaves them behind
and so on. I'd have to say that the victim of crime, what, like, there's a post office robbery is at the centre of the play that I've written, Love, Peace and Robbery, and there are two people who get a mention, people who are working in the post office. But I would have to say, like, it isn't a play where I kind of delve into the the scarifying effect on the psyche of the victim or something. That is that is serious terrain, and it's serious stuff that can, that is often dramatised and so on. And I think is an important thing. I suppose I had something of an agenda in my own play, and that was to kind of say, look, we know that the victims have not done anything wrong and that they are innocent. But what we sometimes also say as a given is that the baddie is a baddie. Whereas I was just trying to tilt it a little bit, and I suppose going to the old cliche maybe of good and the best of us and bad and the worst of us, and trying to explore that type of kind of ambivalence in the play. So I think what I was probably more concerned was that I would maybe people would come out of the play saying, what total idiots, you know, look what they did. There is an idiotic side of committing a crime and making your own future hang in the balance as a result. There is something obviously idiotic about that. But I also wanted to look at the human sadness and awkwardness and messiness that is in the characters.
These kinds of lives. Well, listen, Liam, it sounds like a really great play. Love, Peace and Robbery. It's running at the Everyman in Cork, and that goes from Monday, July 28th through to Saturday, August the 2nd. And Liam, thank you very much indeed.
Thanks
for joining us this morning.